Friends in Christ, we have a problem. No, it's not just coronavirus. We have an even more serious problem. This problem that we, a few weeks ago, called sin. This problem of us being separated from our Lord God. And this separation is just another word of calling it a veil. You see behind us in our church throughout this season of Lent, we have purposely veiled, covered over our crosses as a stark reminder of what our Lord has done for us and awaiting that gift once more on Good Friday. But we have many veils in our life. We've talked about disappointments, unmet expectations, even despair. And today we realize one that really hits home for maybe the hardest in our heart. The veil that keeps us from God today is arrogance. Think of many people you see in our world that might be arrogant. Maybe even church people. People that go to church can be arrogant, thinking that they're better than one another or better than the rest of the world. There's even examples where there are people of faith that say, oh, I believe in God. I don't need to take the CDC disease control precautions. I can go out in public whenever I want. I can go to the store when I want. I can do whatever. Don't need hand sanitizer. And that's wrong. And that's what we call arrogance, because it puts you the highest above everybody else. You make yourself a king. You make yourself a god. And when you do that, and when we do that, it's called a veil. It separates us from the love that God has to give. Now, there is that old country song, if you're familiar, that, Lord, it's hard to be humble, right? When you're perfect in every way. Now, some of you might feel that way, especially when you're younger, in your younger days, when we're young and spry and good-looking, we feel perfect. There's no need to be humble. But that's what our Lord calls us to. When we celebrate Palm Sunday, we have a lot of these conflicting things back and forth. We have arrogance on one side, and we have humility on another, being humble. We have on one side the Pharisees, those lawgivers, those lawyers, the people that do it by the book, the real staunch conservative types that think that there's no other way but their way. And they're saying to one another when they see Jesus come into town proclaimed as a king, fearful that he's going to take away their status quo, their way of life. And it says in John chapter 12, you see that we are gaining nothing. Look, look, the world has gone after him. And all of a sudden, their fattened bags of temple coins, their normal way of guilting people into temple traditions and regulations, their normal way of life is going to be over. And so they hated Jesus, all because of this thing we celebrated and remembered last week. People were so excited to see Jesus because he raised Lazarus from the dead. Who does that? And so when they see him coming into town, they hate him in their arrogance, because he's taking away their number one spot, they think. But what does Jesus do? Do you notice this? We call it Palm Sunday, but some have even called it Donkey Sunday, believe it or not. Because Jesus doesn't come into town on a white horse, a stallion, coming in as an emperor, as a Caesar like would do. He comes on a donkey, a stubborn mule even, and not even that, a baby donkey. He does that to show what kind of king he really, truly is, what kind of Lord he will be. One that leads his people in humility, not by putting himself up and above everybody, but by him being brought low. And that's how we can have joy in the midst of arrogant times. How we can be called from our arrogance, thinking that we don't have to listen to anybody else but ourselves. We can have joy because our Lord gives us this great example, that being found in the likeness of a human being, he, being God, chose to be humbled to the point of death as a human being and even death on a cross. Who does that? What kind of king does that? That lets himself get killed willingly. Doesn't sound like a very good king, according to the world. But that's exactly God's plan. God shows us that the highest point of him being God is when he is on the cross. Because his mission was to forgive you, to die for you, so that you don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to worry about arrogance or the people of the world. And you certainly don't have to worry about evil or Satan. And so that's the lesson we have today. That when the world thought Jesus was going to take away their problems, Jesus took away their sin. And the one word that it sticks out above all others is this Hebrew word that the people were chanting. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Nobody talks like that today. If you did, they were like, oh yeah, he just got out of church in Palm Sunday. But what does that word mean? Hosanna? It's a word of humility, of being humble, of being brought low. Hosanna is a prayer. Lord, save us now, we pray. That's what the people were chanting. Lord, save us. And that's what you can pray still today. That's what you can pray for yourself, your family, when you're in hard times, when you're in difficult times, when you're in frustrated times. Lord, save us now, we pray. And that's what you can pray for the other people of the world. Save us, Lord, because we know you can. And when we do that, you will find joy. I guarantee it. Joy in humility, despite this veil of arrogance. And so we pray, Hosanna. Lord, save us now, still today. Amen.